1080.com. It is now 8:22 and 79 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Hunter Simmons, planning director for the city of Fairhope. Thank you so much, Hunter, for being here.
Good morning, Lori.
I know you've rearranged your schedule as we had a scheduling snafu Wednesday with our regular first Wednesday City of Fairhope department head meeting. I requested you specifically today because of a two-page planning commission agenda.
Yes, we should have a rather long meeting tonight.
5 p.m. the first Monday of each month in City Council chambers is the Fairhope Planning Commission agenda. And at first glance, I thought, has the moratorium expired already? So let's back up. Y'all enacted a six-month moratorium.
1 year.
1 year, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But not on properties in the city limits.
There were certain specific things within that moratorium, and it was mainly major subdivisions and what we call MOP, multiple occupancy projects, outside the city limits. There was also anything that was zoned during this moratorium period can annex into the city and get zoned, but they can't follow up with, they can't bypass that process, that moratorium, by just annexing in the city. So I think the city did a lot of good there. Instead of utilizing that as a way to get things in the city, we said, no, this is legitimate. The mm-hmm. growth problem is legitimate. So yes, there's only one item on our agenda that did have the application in that's outside the city that would otherwise fall under the moratorium, but their application came in I believe, December.
Okay,
so last year.
And there's 11 items on the agenda. So the other 10 are either what you call a preliminary approval. What is that called? Site plan review.
So site plan review is an instrument of our zoning ordinance, which you have to be within the city to do. So that there's site plan reviews are usually singular sites that meet certain criteria. Either they're tall enough, they're big enough, or they have too much or a certain threshold of impervious surfaces that has to go to site plan review. So the one on there tonight is a PUD that's approved on Greeno years ago. It's Alpha Care that is a one doctor's office on one site. The lot was created years ago within a PUD. So this is just kind of a follow up to that project.
All right, and that's actually item A or number one. It's 1.1 acres on 98, 0.13 miles south of Gayfer. And like you said, this was a project approved a couple of years ago.
Before my time, so
okay.
This is, yes.
Okay, so that's not new. There are some rather large developments being proposed, apparently inside the city limits. So let's just go through them. Number B is on behalf of Gayfer Village Partners to amend the existing PUD for the Clump PUD, mm-hmm. 76 acres on the west side of 181 between Gayfer and County Road 48. This is a public hearing to amend the PUD. Is this the picture that went around online, Fairhope Times, about the downtown look development?
No, that will be on informal view. I think that's the last item which we can discuss. This one, this is the third time the PUD has been amended. This is going back over 2 years now. If you remember, this was one that had tall apartments in the middle of it originally and commercial lots around it. Then it was amended to be more duplex, triplex with smaller commercial lots. It's adjacent to 181 in between Gayfer and Fairhope Avenue, that large acreage there. So there's not much changing in this one, but it does require coming back because connectivity is important. So when they got out to the Corps of Engineer, the road goes through the headwaters of Cowpen Creek, the proposed road. So this is removing that proportion of the road that goes into the floodway and the wetlands of Cowpen Creek is what they're proposing. So we have to do a PUD amendment for that since it is site plan driven.
That's outside of the city limits.
That's in the city limits.
It is.
That annexed in, that originally 2 years ago annexed in with conditional annexation.
Okay. Number C is to establish initial zoning of B2 General Business District with conditional annexation of 34 acres on 181 on the northeast corner of 104 and 181. Tell us about that.
Sure. And if I know you have been kind of paying attention. There's a lot of developments that's happened right around that 104, 181 intersection. And we've been working with LDOT. We've been working with the folks there as they're developing. And about the time you get a plan together, here comes another project that changes that scope. So this is an annexation to straight B2 for the northeast corner. Northeast corner. There will be connecting with some private roads, or not necessarily private, but off-site roads to get the traffic off 181, better help that circulation. But at this point in time, this is just an annexation request to B2. So under our moratorium, that is allowed, but they can't follow up with any major subdivisions or anything else that's under the moratorium until it expires.
Well, what is the plan, though, for that 34 acres?
At this time, don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We have seen over my time, I've seen many different people propose ideas. There's no direct plan we're reviewing in a straight rezoning case.
Okay. We have a public hearing to consider the request of the City of Fairhope Planning and Zoning Department to amend some zoning ordinances. What are those?
This one's a pretty simple one. We allow dog kennels, basically, or animal shelters. We allow those in three zoning districts, B3A, B2, and M2. Which is industrial. We actually don't have any zoned property of M2. So what we are proposing here is to allow that in M1, which is our light industrial district, with approval of the Board of Adjustment. So it would allow dog kennels, animal shelters, hospitals within M1 property, but they would each property would have to go to Board of Adjustment to ask for that. So that's what we call conditional approval.
So this doesn't apply to backyard dog houses.
This is
a veterinarian or a boarder or something.
Four or
like
more
that.
Dogs is kind of the threshold.
Okay. Item number E, public hearing to request on behalf of D.R. Horton preliminary plat approval of Lone Oak Farm subdivision and 82 major lot subdivision on the northeast corner of Pierce Road and County Road 32. That's city limits?
No, this one's not. So this was the application when I mentioned we had one outside the city limits. This application came in, I want to say it was November of last year. So the way our moratorium reads is we can't just go out and say we're going to put a moratorium and everything stops, and the people that already have applications in, you know, fall under that moratorium. So there was an application in. Staff had reviewed that. At that point in time, we had questions about wetlands, and the applicant has been working with a Corps to determine what those are. So they're bringing the application back. It stays in a stasis while they work with a Corps. That's what we've always done. When we get an application, we review before it gets to Planning Commission. We try to review everything that where there may be major questions. So this is now coming back to staff, and we are putting it in front of the council. The Planning Commission.
Okay, all right. And let's see, number F is just a two-lot minor subdivision. I'm gonna skip over to G, final plat approval for Fox Hollow, a 32-lot major subdivision, County Road 13.04 miles south of Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one it's already in motion. I've seen the construction there.
So if you don't mind, I'll kind of give some language that people can understand, because we got some comments about that. Like, hey, let's make them do this, let's make them do that. Well, when we see preliminary plat, that is basically ideas people are presenting to the city that we review. When we see final plat, that means, okay, we've already approved a plan. Now they have built the roads, the lots, and we're ensuring that it was built the way they said they did. So final plat is kind of the bow on the infrastructure. They put in water lines, sewer lines, roads, and then they come and get approval for final plat before they can start building homes.
Okay.
So this is a project that I believe is at least 2 years old.
Okay. a number H, preliminary approval. And all of these are public hearings, by the way. So any of you that want to issue comments on these can at the meeting.
Aside from the site plan reviews. Okay. Those are the only ones that do not have a public hearing.
Preliminary approval of Advanced Dental, an 11-unit multiple occupancy project, 2.75 acres on the east side of 181, quarter mile south of County Road 48.
Yes. So this project actually was approved. It's in the city. This was approved under our site plan review years ago. And there were two buildings, and they only built one, and then I think 2007 happened and never got around to the second building. But all of the infrastructure is in. In that time period, we have implemented our MOP review process, which means if there's three or more units, they have to go through another application process. So the site plan's approved. This is an MOP just to make sure they're accommodating everything. So this is a follow-up to a project that's, you know, I believe we're looking at probably a 13-year-old project.
Even though they're searching for preliminary approval.
The language of the MOP is preliminary. They have to actually construct anything. Now, in reality, on this one, the infrastructure's in. There's going to be some additional parking required, so that's part of the infrastructure that they'll need. So this is, unless we have a easement or something needed, then this will kind of be the last time Planning Commission sees this one. We'll be able to handle those at closeout procedures at staff level.
Okay. Another biggie, agenda number I, also a public hearing, preliminary plat approval of Greenfield Subdivision, an 80-lot major subdivision on 40 acres on the east side of County Road 13, about a third of a mile from County Road 34. That's city limits, too.
That annexed in prior to the moratorium. The application was in for annexation prior to us implementing a moratorium. So while even today, just like the one we talked about earlier, the conditional annexation, anyone can annex in but can't follow up with development activities. This annexation actually happened before the moratorium was implemented, so they are now within the city, legally before the moratorium, so they can follow up with major subdivisions. So,
okay. J, final plat approval of River Horse, a 27 major lot subdivision on 22 acres, a quarter mile north of Gayfer Avenue on the east side of Blueberry Lane.
Again, final plat, that one was actually about 3 years old, maybe even a little older than that. I can't remember the exact date. It was before my time, so I've been here next month. It'll be 3 years. So this is final plat, like we said in the other one, just ensuring that they built it the way they said.
Okay. And number K, request of an applicant for an informal review of an amendment to an existing PUD to Idlewild Place, 10 acres on the west side of 181, just south of Fairhope Avenue. What is the amendment they're looking for?
So this is the one you saw in the news of downtown Fairhope on the east side of town.
Okay.
So let's just real quick talk about what the informal review is. That we haven't done a lot of research on this one. An informal review is an opportunity for an applicant to come and just get some feedback from the Planning Commission. We don't do a full review like we do the other cases. And the Planning Commission will not be deciding on anything tonight. It's just kind of a conversation about an idea. So I do think some of that was very premature to be in a news article because we don't know what the
Dirty laundry itself.
We don't know what the final plan will be, but the plan showing does have a hotel and some business on it, creates kind of a plaza internally, and we'll be showing that site plan to our Planning Commission to see if they have any feedback on that.
So, okay.
And the Idlewild PUD, that commercial PUD was approved in 2007, I believe. I couldn't miss my years by plus or minus, but it was five lots on that 10 acres with just a single tenant. So this idea is actually conceptually what the city's been looking for when we talk about, I know you've heard through all the comp plans, village nodes.
Yeah, the village
commercial
concept,
nodes, yeah. And all of those. This is more in line with that than many of the projects we see, which are traditionally a one lot, one tenant with a parking lot and a driveway to it. So the concept's interesting. You know, I'm not sure if it's ready for prime time. That's why it's in front of them as a formal review.
Okay. All right. And tell us how the process works. Once you get an application, walk us through that process of how that, whatever that application is, gets through your department and on to the agenda.
Sure.
Because I always want to tell people, when they look at the agenda, also look at what y'all still call the press packet, needs to be renamed.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, because the general public that really wants to delve into it, that's where all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and you can see every detail of the proposal and then the planning department's recommendations.
That's right. So our typical process is, when we get an application, and there's some overlap, so we're already reviewing July's Planning Commission cases. We got those applications in a week or so ago. So we schedule an internal meeting. That's with our other departments, city departments and utilities. We schedule an internal review for those. Then we start reviewing and getting comments together back to the applicant, and then they have a chance to respond before we put everything together in those press packets. I believe this month's press packet is 238 pages.
Yeah, I accidentally started printing it.
Oh, sorry. Hope you didn't need to go color.
I canceled it. canceled.
But now that is only the tip of the iceberg on the things we review. I mean, that we can't get everything out there, because it would, you know, if we get a traffic study, that might be a 200-page document in unto itself.
So you have to give a summary.
We give a summary page, you know, of that. And those are found if you go to the City of Fairhope's main website, and I believe it's the first tab, government, and then Planning Commission meeting, that goes to a calendar, and you'll see an agenda, and then you'll see a press packet.
Yes.
We got those press packets out last week, and most of the information is there. You'll also see letters. I did get a comment from one case that was, yeah, we had an attorney, rumor is the attorney sent you a letter and y'all refused to give it to Planning Commission. Nothing can be further from the truth. The letter's in the packet.
Oh, good, okay.
And we send it when we send all, we send all the news.
And what was that about?
That was the Long Oak out on Pierce Road. So just some comments. Yeah, it's typical comments. We
That's
have
one of those 80,
many cases.
80 acres, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We have many.
80 homes, I mean.
80 homes, yeah. Yes. We have many comments that just like, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I'm going to use this platform to kind of hopefully have some sympathy to our staff as hard as they're working. You know, what the state laws say about these public hearings are we have to advertise that there's a meeting. And anyone can come to the meeting and speak about those meetings. And that is all we have to do, okay? Now, we go above and beyond that. We try to get packets out. We try to, you know, get the information out there so people know before they come in. But what's happening in today's time, everybody wants a quick answer. And when I say everybody, the developers are going, we can't wait another month. We need to have an answer now. But we want our answer. And then the folks that are, you know, concerned about a prop, you know, maybe adjacent property owners, they don't want to have to come back to another meeting, you know, that, and I get that, but the process is sometimes lengthy, and you know, there we want to get the right answer, not the quick answer. So, you know, that's, we come to a Planning Commission meeting, and the Planning Commission are the deciding factors in some cases. As you know, some of those move on to the City Council.
Let's remind how that happens, because the planning department recommends approval or denial to the commission. Then the commission recommends approval or denial. When does it have to go to council and when does it not for their approval or denial?
In the big picture, you can kind of think of it as your zoning controls what can happen. Your subdivisions are just, you know, how it's built, making sure the technical merits are right. Do you have proper drainage and things like that? So for, in big picture, anything dealing with a zoning ordinance has to go to the City Council, where we make a recommendation to the city, to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the City Council. If it's just a subdivision case, that's usually already been approved at the zoning level, or if it's outside of our city limits, there is, and there was no zoning, then there the planning commission is the ultimate deciding factor. So it's the technical merits of being built is planning commission, stops at planning commission. So MOPs, preliminary plats, final plats, those stop at planning commission. Zoning cases, PUD amendments,
annexations.
So
they go to council.
So technically, those go straight to council. You'll see something called conditional annexation, which we have tonight, and that's basically an applicant saying, "Hey, I'll annex into the city if I get the zoning that I'm proposing for. If I don't get the zoning, then I'm not going to annex in." So when you see a request for B2, that goes to the planning commission, who recommends to the council the zoning, and then the annexation itself. You or I can go out and petition the city council straight to the city council for annexation. But anybody that does that has a default zoning of R1 today. And then they can go back and rezone that and go through the process. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a way for an applicant to go straight through and see if they get the zoning they want, they'll annex in. If they don't, then they have the opportunity to say, then never mind, I don't want to annex.
We're speaking with Hunter Simmons, the planning director for the city of Fairhope. It can be a bit complicated.
And yes.
We've got 11 things on the agenda, and 10 are in the city limits. Should we have done a moratorium in the city limits, too?
That has certainly been a conversation, and I think you can, you know, one of the subtleties, like you said, it's very complicated. There's a lot of flavors of this, and I think people hear moratorium and think it stops everything. One of the subtleties of our moratorium, and I got to, as planning director, one of the things I'm looking at is how do we fund the things happening around us with the growth? How do we provide for parks? How do we provide for police to grow with the population
traffic,
and maintaining roads?
Traffic.
Yes, all of those things. And your tax base is there. Well, if it's outside the city limits, we are not getting that tax base. So, you know, I kind of did on this moratorium, I was, you know, this would be an opportunity for the city to put a moratorium and then people annex in. But our council and our, the moratorium allows people to annex, but they can't bypass our moratorium just annexing. They're still held. They can annex, but they have to follow up with preliminary plats, MOPs. They can't do that until after the moratorium. So
annexation is profitable, or at least revenue generating for the city.
It is. And I think what most people do not appreciate is if it doesn't annex in, they have less strict rules when they develop. Any developer has less strict rules. They only have to follow the subdivision regulations. So they can build things bigger, taller, uglier, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. And then the city has to deal with those issues, the traffic, the you know, use of our parks, the roads, all of the things you have to deal with anyway, but does not get the tax base. So it's always that conversation, you know, what sometimes it's not as easy as black and white, like, yeah, we don't want this, we'll say no. Well, then they're going to build it anyway,
right,
and we don't get any benefits. So you have to weigh an inordinate amount of variables to figure out what, when we make a recommendation, it's not just, yeah, we don't like this, we're going to say no. You know, you have to also look at the alternatives. And that's going back for years. We were just talking about, I think, Shellbrook Apartments. You know, that was, the city got a lot of flack for approving those. Well, they could build more units, denser, not preserve some of as much of the land as they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but annexing in, there were some self-restrictions there. They built less units. They protected
some of the land. It's like the lesser of the evil.
Yes. You know, I wish we were, you know, a black and white world, but this is not. There's a lot of things you have to weigh in recommendations, and it's not easy.
What else would you like the residents to know and to understand?
That we are, so the month you're looking at, we are absolutely reviewing cases, and we are actually sending things off for third-party review at times to ensure that they're meeting our regulations. And if they're meeting those regulations, it's hard sometimes to, even if we don't like, I have a personal opinion on projects at times that, but we have to be fair to applicants. And we can't just wing it sometimes, or we get
sued. They meet all the requirements of the ordinance and the zoning.
Under some situations, it's I can't write a report that says deny this. I mean, that's so. I think a lot of people say just because we have a recommendation, we're evaluating an application based on a set of rules that were in place at the time of their application. That doesn't mean we, you know, like, you know, personal preference, like the project, or that we are not constantly reviewing our regulations to see if we need to tweak those. But the prevalent opinion sometimes is we're just in the pockets, and it's easy to throw that out there. Our staff is busting their rears, you know, trying to keep up with this, and that is something I don't think people appreciate, because they just see us once a month, and a lot of people don't go to planning commission meetings, don't keep up with that, so they don't see us there every month having these same conversations.
Right.
And a lot of the times we're sandwiched in the middle, you know, we're kind of sandwiched in the middle of two entities, and so that's hard. That's hard for our staff to hear negativity from both sides. But that's our job. So I just appreciation for that. And at least when they call, we're here to help. We're here to hear everyone's opinions. But not the, we're not the evil entity. So if they are reaching out to submit comments, we'll be happy to have those and forward those to the important decision makers.
But you might want to say, educate yourselves first. Click on the press packet, which I'm going to say again, change the name to info packet. The average citizen doesn't know. They should click on press packet because they're not press.
Yeah.
But it's really an info packet that has all the details. Like you said, this one is 230 pages to accompany 11 items on the agenda.
That's right.
So click on that.
And
read
that's probably
that.
Only a tenth of what we've seen.
And the Planning Commission meeting is tonight at 5 o'clock, City Council Chambers, and y'all meet the first Monday of each month.
That is correct.
Very good. Anything else?
That'll do it for me.
I appreciate you so much. I know you're crunched for time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Hunter
Simmons, the Planning Director for the City of Fairhope. If you missed part of this interview or you would like to tell a friend, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com.